Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Marshall with her for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So we got two different programs today. First half is going to be a political profile. A guy by the name of Scott Kochenour is with us today. He is running for York County Council in District Number 7. And then the back half of the program, a fellow by the name of John Warden is going to be joining us to talk about a new program he's got on WRHI. So let's start with Scott. Hello, Scott. How you doing?
Hello. Hey, everybody. This is Scott Kochenour. So anyway, we picked the new voice for Fort Mill as our slogan because I've announced football at all three stadiums. I'm currently the voice of the Copperheads, and I did 9 years of football and basketball at Nation Ford High School. Announced a Christmas parade. So anyway, that's our slogan, a new voice for Fort Mill.
All right, new voice. Tell us a little bit about you.
Me?
The Cliff Notes version.
There you go. Indyland, 83. Football player, class president, Winthrop 89, accounting degree, moved to Fort Mill 34 years ago, big supporter of the Fort Mill school system, so I had two boys there. For 25 years now, I've been sitting on either planning commission, zoning appeals, or today I'm on historic review board for the town of Fort Mill. I've sat on Parks and Rec advisory committees for the county, for the town. I sat on Recode for the county. I've sat on long-range planning for the town of Fort Mill for the downtown district and parks district. So that's some of my history as far as what we've done for volunteering for the municipalities and the county. And most of my 4,000 hours of volunteer service has been with the Fort Mill School District, announcing sports. We were one of the first families to start the lacrosse program. So that started, we had about 12 families get together, start that, coached at Fort Mill High School for 5 years, boys varsity lacrosse team. I was the South Carolina Assistant Coach of the Year one time for lacrosse. And then the next year is when the boys won our first state championship in lacrosse at Fort Mill High School. So I do have a state championship ring.
So now you're wearing a Catawba Ridge jersey.
Yes, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm now the voice of the Copperheads at the pit.
All right.
Yes, yeah, so if you ever hear this one, and that's another Copperhead. Anyway, so it's funny how people come up to me and they say, oh, it's cool, I finally get to put a face with the name.
All right, so why are you doing this? Why are you getting into politics?
Well, I said I would never run. I'd always volunteer. So anyway, I'm just I'm ready to help District 7 in York County. I feel like I could do a great job for the community in our district over there. So rec funding was cut to municipalities last year. And so I was very, very surprised. You know, why pick on rec funding? I mean, Rock Hill tourism, parks and rec tourism generates so many thousands of dollars in this county. I mean, why pick on that? I mean, they picked on Fort Mill, too. So rec funding is one thing. Impact fees for the school district, impact fees for the town have worked. So we want to keep supporting those impact fees. And right now, our current council member for the Clover School District could ask $24,000. Clover School District asked for $15,000, and she voted for $8,000. So I'm very disappointed that we did not support the impact fees for the Clover School District.
So you support the fact that growth should pay for itself?
Correct. Yes, sir. Okay. Growth paying for growth. It's worked for the town of Fort Mill. We're getting new fire stations. We're getting new parks. Yes, yeah, so growth paying for growth is what we're looking for.
All right. What else is on your to-do list?
Right there, the Pennies for Progress program, the full audit of that. You know, we've got roads that are 15, 20 years behind schedule, 300 and 400% over budget. Get this one, man. We built David Tepper Bridge in York County on time and on budget. I mean, why can we not build ourselves roads on time and on budget? These roads running 300% over budget and years behind schedule need to stop.
Well, part of the problem is inflation, right? Well, I mean, it now costs $800,000 to pave, just pave a mile of road. And 4 or 5 years ago, it was half that.
But now 15 years ago, when Penny's 3 was approved and that money was there, why did we not build that road 15 years ago when we had the opportunity? Because it was approved by the voters. The money was there for it. So if we would have done it when we did it, just like they did for David Tepper, our roads would have been done. You take the Fort Mill Parkway in front of Elizabeth on the Spratt property. Lennar had to make that 3 lanes. The Penny's 4 project would make that 5 lanes. Why did Penny's 4 not kick in and make that road 5 lanes at the same time?
Well, you know,
it would have saved us millions of dollars.
Part of that process is the public input. In other words, you know, they set up a commission.
Yes,
sir. The commission goes all across the county.
Yes, sir.
They sit there and talk and listen to what people have to say.
Yes, sir.
Then they prioritize the roads, and it's the committee that puts the list of roads together. The council can only say yay or nay. They can't play around with, you know, I want this road, not that road.
Oh, I agreed. I was at Nationport High School for the Penny's 3 when Patrick Hamilton first took that position. And my question to him at that time, that was the same thing you're talking about when they presented that to town of Fort Mill or in our area. And Patrick said, we're going to build these roads on time. He's going to use the Monte Carlo method of estimating. So he gave me 100%. He was 100% sure he'd be able to build our roads and not go over budget. And that was at that one. At the Penny's 5 that we just did at Catawba Ridge High School, you know, that I was at that meeting also. So that's where you're talking about that, yeah, so much goes to paving, so much goes to, you know, and that one, is it 30 or 40% of the monies from Penny's 5 is going to finish up Penny's 3 and Penny's 4 projects?
Well,
all the
new Penny's projects is basically a catch-up because of the impact of inflation. All these projects that are not finished, they basically decided not to take on any new major projects. They're going to do a bunch of repaving.
Well, there is one major project in there. That's Highway 21 expansion from Road to the Peach Stand.
That's correct.
So that, you know, there is one in there, but there's not many others.
All right. All right. So you are supportive of Pennies for Progress, or are you against Pennies for Progress?
Oh, I am supportive of it.
Okay.
We want roads.
Yeah.
We want roads now.
Right.
We want our roads paved. We want our potholes fixed. So we're supportive of Pennies, but it needs to work. I mean, we can't just let these programs run 300% and 400% over budget and years behind schedule.
Have you talked to, for instance, have you sat down with Patrick Hamilton or anybody else?
Oh, yes, sir.
And what explanation has he given you? What's his explanation?
Now, Penny's 4 started out good before COVID. Patrick performed. We did get 4 or 5 projects done away. And unfortunately, COVID hit him.
Right.
So, and things have changed since COVID.
Okay. I'm just trying to find out. You know, you're talking about, at least to me, it's coming across as Penny's has got problems.
Oh, yes, sir, it does.
And I want to ask you, have you got explanations as to what those who are responsible are saying about it?
Yes, sir. And before COVID, Mr. Hamilton had the program working pretty good. COVID has really thrown a wrench into that program because of cost and different things.
So that's not Penny's fault. That's just the world.
Well, a version of that, but still, I mean, I performed business through COVID, and you've performed business through COVID. So, you know, we all performed during COVID.
Okay. As you say, you're a business guy. What would you have done if you were in charge of Pennies for Progress during COVID
That was not done. I would have had those projects started ahead of time, so they would have been bid out and everything pre-done. So
All right.
Yes.
I just want to say, if you've got something that is solid, I want you to put it out here as far as what the problems were. Now, COVID, you mentioned COVID was a problem.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
all right. The
Penny's 3 project up in front of SILFAB.
All right.
Yes,
you
sir.
You get this big long list.
Yes,
I told you we got 15 minutes.
Right.
What else do you want to work on?
Okay, we want to fix every pothole we can, allocate every dime we can to potholes there. I'm a big supporter of SS4A, which is an RFATS program, which is State Streets and Sidewalks for All.
Right.
So we're supporting that. We are supporting the Fort Mill School District in the SILFAB matter. So that is a heavy industrial plant.
All right, well, let's talk about that because that's obviously a huge issue.
Big. Yes, sir.
I see both sides of this issue very clearly. And I want to know, how does anybody think it's going to be resolved? How do you think it's going to be resolved?
It is a true heavy industrial plant in a light industrial zoning. So
that went in when the zoning was such that it allowed it, right?
Well, if you interpret a computer chip manufacturer,
that's where the courts are going to be deciding
the interpretation of it.
So how do you think it's going to be resolved?
I think it really needs to be our attorney general, our state senator, our house reps, and things, people on that line really sit down, and they are making an effort now. So once we get these little lawsuits going, nobody can sit down and work things out. So I'm a big fan of now that the big dogs are here, letting them take control. You ever heard the big hammer rule? So if the federal government, the state government all have lawsuits, let the biggest hammer it down. So that's my philosophy on it.
It's going to be very interesting to see how they resolve this.
Oh, yes, sir. And I'm afraid it's going to turn out just like the Regent Park Tower that's been a mess. That's the biggest eyesore in York County, and that thing needs to be tore down.
Well, I would be really shocked if somebody makes them tear down that plant or leave that plant. Because if that's the case, somebody's going to have to write a very big check.
I agree.
A very big check.
Yes, sir.
Is that going to be the Fort Mill School District? Is that going to be York County Council? Is that going to be the state of South Carolina? Who's it going to be?
Well, I don't believe it's going to be the school district, but the other two that you mentioned, I think will be players in it.
Okay. So,
anyway, my opinion, that's but the chemicals have to leave that facility. They can say a light manufacturing facility and put the panels together there. They just can't be making the film in there with all those chemicals and then all the water. Usage and
all right, we can spend 2 hours on that.
All right,
what else?
A library downtown Fort Mill? You take District 7, one of the biggest districts in the county, population, all the growth we got going over there. We do not have a library in downtown Fort Mill. We do not have a library in District 7, so I'm a big supporter of getting a library in District 7.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'd love to see it in the downtown district because that's where
library is. You've got a library at Baxter, right?
Yes, sir. That's across the interstate, so that's in District 1.
I understand.
That's in District 1.
All right.
So.
All right.
But, yes, sir, we do have one over there.
Okay.
And then, I'm just a big, big supporter of safe pathways, pedestrian pathways and sidewalks, things on that line. Now, the growth, we got to manage the growth. Like I said, the impact fees, growth paying for growth. We're doing that. And then the town has just put a moratorium for 6 months. And I would do the same thing with my part of the county. When I got there, I would impose a six-month moratorium if possible. And then so that way our planning department with the town of Fort Mill, planners from York County can actually get together, build a team, and let's try to figure this thing out. Let's figure this thing out.
Well, I've seen the York County Council turn down, by their own words, a beautiful project for up there in the Lake Wylie area simply because the roads couldn't handle it.
Correct. Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And, of course, as you mentioned, the town of Fort Mill has done the same thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, we Fort Mill has got more people on the smallest landmass of anywhere in the state of South Carolina. It's tough.
Oh, the density.
Our
roads rate out C's and D's and F's. So as far as
you got Highway 160 that runs right through the middle of downtown.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, now, the town has they started a new light system, so the lights will work better. So hopefully we'll move traffic through a little bit better.
Yeah.
That's just now getting implemented. So
what you need is a four-lane road right through that area, but that's not going to happen.
No, sir. So, and there was and the long range plan down by the walking park where Old Nation Road goes out. There was supposed to be a traffic circle, or maybe opportunity for a traffic circle there. And I was a big supporter of that traffic circle there, so that way traffic would keep moving through there.
We got about 60 seconds left.
Yes, sir.
What do you offer that the incumbent doesn't? The incumbent is Debbie Cloninger. What do you bring to the table that she doesn't have?
I will fully fund our recs department again, so I can do that for us. I can the new budget process they just went through, I can direct staff that there will be no new tax increases on any budget coming up. So that's something that they're not doing right now. That's things I can do for you. I can support our school systems to the fullest extent with our impact fees and SILFAB. So there's some of the great things that Scott Coke and I can offer you. And we'll get you a library. We're going to work real hard to get you a library.
So do you have a website where people can go find out all kinds of things about you?
Yes, sir. It's scottforcouncil.com.
Scott,
one more time, scottforcouncil.com. And, of course, we got some social media pages out there.
Okay.
So, yeah,
all right.
Hit us up on the social media
pages. His name
is
Scott Kochenour. He is a county council candidate. He wants your vote come June the 9th.
June the 9th.
All right.
Yep.
Good luck to you, Scott.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Thank you. And we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. So we're going to find out if Scott Kokenauer has a regular listener of Straight Talk, because here at Substation 2, we prepare fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to battle it out together at the count of three. Ready? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
The NASCAR Cup Series.
Dillon works their way two by two. They bunch together in the middle of the tri-oval.
Heads to New York.
Oh, we got trouble. One car has spotted the second spot. Lots of white smoke. It was Eric Jones.
For a Mother's Day trip around the Glen.
You got me.
Side by side. Oh, Ryan Preece will break
Stellar.
Loose. They're crashing mid-pack. Carson Hocevar will come to the line.
It's the Go Bowling at the Glen.
Sunday at 2
I'm
o'clock.
Not sure what I can play.
Wednesday 107. The Charlotte
you figure something out back here, though.
Station.
When you get a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, things get real.
And nobody understands that better than the Parkinson's Foundation. We provide resources and support because there are things you can do to improve your quality of life. So, whether you're newly diagnosed, have been living with Parkinson's, or caring for a loved one.
All right, coming back to you.
Find real answers at the Parkinson's Foundation.
Go to Parkinson.org or call our helpline at 1-800-4PD-INFO.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. You know, what do you do when you don't have the guest who was supposed to be here? You look around Substation 2 and you look for a personality that'll just dazzle everybody if you give them an opportunity. I couldn't find that either. I found Ron Russell. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. You must be pretty hard up.
I am. It's called, you know what? You were lucky because I could have interviewed him.
Yeah.
Okay, that would have been dangerous. So, you just were remarking about the fact that we've had this wonderful rain.
Yes.
You run Westminster Park out there.
Yes.
And you've got 400 acres of dried up old grass.
Right.
Is it turning green overnight?
Oh, yeah. The rain was really a blessing. We've needed that for several weeks and very much appreciated.
Oh, boy. You know, you and I did a show out there, probably been a couple years ago.
Yes.
Now. And since that time, you put all kinds of new facilities in out there. You've got we have one or two disc golf courses out there.
We have one permanent disc golf course, and we'd use a temporary when we have one of the hosts for the Collegiate Disc Golf Championships in April.
So how did that go this year for you?
Extremely well. The participants were very complimentary, and we appreciate the remarks.
You're up against some tough competition because you got this Winthrop course over here.
Yes.
That's known all over the country.
Yeah, that's right. So we also have a par 3 6-hole course for children and just somebody wants to come out there and take a half an hour, an hour.
That's a disc golf course, not a stick golf course.
Well, this is a separate course at the park.
Right.
But it's just a par 3 6-hole course.
But it's
yeah,
a disc
golf.
Yeah, okay.
Disc golf. So we're starting to get into the season where we've had some tubers and kayakers already, and within the next month we'll see a lot of activity on the weekends.
Now, do you launch from there?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They can launch from there, or they can take out there. Some people put in at Fort Mill, and they take out at Westminster Park, but most of them put in at Westminster Park and go down to the river.
Now, you have a beautiful chapel.
Yes.
That is right there on the water. I mean, it really is. It is just delightful. Is the launch for the kayaks and the canoes below or above that?
It's below it.
Below
but
it.
You still have a nice view of the river down there.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a proposal that was scheduled this week, and I think the gentleman came out there to propose, and the lady he's going to marry saw that chapel, and she's pretty adamant right now. She wants to have her wedding there.
Why not?
Yeah.
She can't.
Beautiful place.
I don't think you could find a more... It's just so relaxing out there. It's wonderful. So the park is available for virtually anybody to use on a reservation basis. How does that all work?
It's open to the public.
Right.
It's an outreach ministry to the public. We have certain activities if they need to keep the pavilion or Living Water Chapel or certain activities, we do have some fees related to that. We always suggest people make a reservation. Some of the activities don't require any donation or anything, but we operate basically on donations.
So if somebody wanted to use the park, did they call the church and say,
the church,
yeah,
and talk to Kim Henson,
okay,
which she has all the information, and we work out all the details. But park opens on a daily basis at 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday we don't open until noon. And during the daylight savings, we close at 8 p.m. in the evening. When we go back to standard time, we'll close at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
But if people have activities scheduled either before or after that, we make arrangements for them to get in there.
So if somebody wants to come out and run their dog over your 400 yards, 400 acres?
I don't know how many people that come out there and walk their dogs almost on a daily basis. So that's a major activity.
But you ask them to keep the dogs on the leash.
Yes. If there's public around, you know, they can leave them run free, but if there's a lot of people around, we do ask them to keep them on a leash.
They'll start chasing squirrels and you'll never see the dog again.
Right.
So what do you got coming up in activities? You just finished the College Disc Golf Championship. What else is coming up the rest of this year?
Well, we just met with some ladies that are involved with foster care for children.
Ah.
And they want to have a 5K, and they're considering coming out to the park. They've had it the past few years over in York, which has worked out fine for them. But they wanted to take a look at a different venue, and they may be coming out there possibly the first Saturday in November.
Are there any plans for any construction of whatever out there?
Yes, we've got a lot of ideas. We kind of meet every 2 or 3 months, the park committee. We would like to improve our entranceway,
right,
enhance that a little bit. We'd like to add a restroom facility for the second fields, which are across the road from our current fields, just as a convenience thing. But there's always ideas that's being submitted all the time.
I would imagine every developer in the world would love to get their hands on that piece of property.
Yeah,
build houses out there.
Yeah, we've probably been offered over $60,000 an acre for that property.
That's not nowhere near enough.
No, we're not even considering it.
That's not in your wheelhouse. That's not why you got it, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for stopping in. Anything you'd like to add?
I'd like to mention here that Substation 2 is like a family.
Oh, yeah.
And Charlie was in here, I believe, last week, and I talked to his wife, and I said, you know, that's the best thing you could have done for that man. It brought him in here.
Yeah,
because exactly. He really appreciated that.
He was in here yesterday for a little bit. For those who aren't familiar, Charlie's had he's had his challenges medically, and he's been going through it since a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. And the whole process from soup to nuts, getting him back to normal, is going to take about a year.
Yeah.
And the way it's going, it's pretty much on target. But hopefully he's over the worst of it right now. He's healing. He's getting stronger, getting around. He still has his great sense of humor. He hasn't
that
lost
he
that. Okay, he puts up with you. He puts up with me. He puts up with the wild man over here. So it's good to see you, Ron. Thanks for stopping in here, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. I'll let you get your sandwich.
We'll eat.
Okay.
I always come in and eat.
All right. I'm going to get this guy over here right now. Yeah, you. Come on. Come on, Robert Beatty. Now, this is a guy. Yeah. Well, it is dangerous. This is what happens when your guest doesn't show up, see? Yeah, speaking of not showing up, this is a guy who used to be in the radio business, and he wouldn't show up. Is that right?
Long time ago. Long time ago.
He used to be. How did you get the nickname the Wild Man?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm not, believe it or not, I can't remember. I'm not sure if Alan, if we started doing it, or if Alan started calling me Wild Man, but it could be, too. You know, back in the early days, I would be on at night, and Wolfman Jack would present. Air Force presents Wolfman Jack.
Okay.
So I would listen to it all the time, and he would howl and all that kind of stuff. So I might have been the one to howl and carry on.
I'm sure you were.
You know?
You used to do a beach music program.
Oldie Goldies.
Oldie Goldies. It was on a Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
For what, 2 or 3 hours?
Several hours.
Several hours. And we had it some Sundays, and we didn't have it other Sundays. Well, just depending on whether you showed up or not.
Well, it... In the very end, we started doing more horses, and so my weekends would last longer than I would anticipate.
I see. You know, there's one more person I need to get over here. Come on. I want you to come in here just a second. See, that's a second. See, we're just pulling anybody in that we can pull in. Take it easy. Now, watch that microphone now. This is another regular here at Substation 2. It's just the Cheers of Rock Hill here.
That's right.
All right. Sign in. Tell everybody who you are now.
I'm Michael Clarkson. I'm a retired school teacher for 37 years, and I now work for York County Family Court as a bailiff.
Why aren't you in court?
Today's trial didn't start till 2, so I got...
Didn't start till 2 o'clock, so you just decided to go in early and come here and get a sandwich.
I'm here and have my normal sub and visit with you and say the spiel and get ready to go to court.
The spiel is a slice, 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 garden, garden, garden?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I bet you and I could do 6 hours on what you've seen in family court. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But
I've only been working about 6 months.
But I bet you we could do it.
But it's interesting. I've learned a lot. I've always read case law, so I've always been interested in law. My father was a school principal in Chester, and he got appointed clerk of court in 84 by Governor Carroll Campbell for 1 year. And then he lost the re-election, and Sue Carpenter took over.
Okay.
So he's had his finger in politics and law for a while, so I guess I'm following his footsteps.
But, you know, it's sad to see so many couples going to family court to dissolve their marriages and the issues that they bring before the court. I mean, it's just tough.
It is. It is. And I don't know if there's ever going to be a solution to it. But, I mean, I grew up with a generation of parents who, once they committed to that, they stayed with it.
Yeah.
You know.
My how times have changed.
I've been married for 25 years. My wife and I met online, and, I made a commitment. And I just, you're going to go through some troubles. You're going to go through some issues, children, house, finances.
Oh, yeah. All of the above.
You've got to have some strong values, I think, to
hold it together.
Going.
Well, Michael, thank you for stepping in for a second. Robert, the Wild Man Beatty, you got out of here. But I got that microphone away from him about as quick as I could because I could just sense something was coming. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Yeah. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. One more time, he's going to get the howl. We do fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. And at the count of three, if you can read, we'd like you to chime in with us. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.